You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, today I'm joined by a very empowering woman. We share a love of innovation and commitment to people in our industry. The aspect we talk over today will let you reflect on your business and life in a very eye-opening way. In today's episode, I'm talking with Elle Wilson, creator of True Brow and founder of Brow Secrets International. We discuss how to find your true purpose, as well as exploring all things leadership, clients, overcoming challenges, and how to reach your true potential. I know you'll take something away from this episode, just like I have. Let's dive in. Elle, welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you here.
Hi, Larissa. We've been trying to do this for some time. It's great to be here. We've actually made it happen.
We have. Great to connect with you. And I'm really looking forward to this episode. It's going to be great. But I think you should start by saying, where are you in the world and how did you get to be doing what it is that you're doing?
Well, I think, Larissa, for me, like my day job, because I do have, like, I always say I have a day job and an evening job. It's pretty incredible for me because it sort of dots all the I's and crosses all the T's for my sort of my why, my inner purpose, which I think is really important for us to really be clear on. And I'm really grateful for that. So I guess I'll just begin by just giving you three things that we do and that I do in my day job. How about that? Is that going to be helpful?
Yes.
So I guess the first thing we do is we really work extremely hard to turn beauty professionals into world-class brow experts. So for dedicated salon owners and their teams, home salon owners, our promise is that they master brow design, they master correction, restoration, and really their transformational skill set that we offer them and that we train them and we'll take them into the top 1% of brow specialists in the world. I mean, that's the first thing. So I spend a big chunk of my time really working very, very diligently on that. Secondly, we grow salons. So we help the salon owner create a truly meaningful difference in the marketplace by really showing them how to answer the question, you know, why would a potential client come into my salon rather than go to the salon next door or the salon around the corner? And we offer them the tools to actually visibly have visibility and control of their business. And I really love that because I think that's so, that's part of my world that I always get really excited about when I can do that for them. And literally we just hold their hands, I guess, as they begin to really set their goals with us. We set goals with them and we include lifestyle in that because, you know, I think you probably know by now, having spoken to me a couple of times, just how important women are to me. And I think that we can't exclude lifestyle. So that each salon owner really is happy. I love that whole side of it. And the other side, of course, is the empowerment for me of women is everything. It really underpins everything I do every second of my day. And really my vision is to open up women to their inner abilities. I think we really limit ourselves without realizing how many abilities we actually have. And they're not intellectual abilities. There's so many different abilities. So to really achieve levels of success that, you know, they once kind of dreamt of and but never knew how to really make turn it into reality. And a lot of the time, you know, they come to me with all these dreams and it's just, I love the fact that that we get to actually make that happen. And I guess in a way, that's why we're launching our new coaching, business coaching programs and our mentoring programs for women worldwide. Because, you know, it's okay to help someone if they've got a problem, but without the structure and the learning, like it's almost like a little bit like life school first, you know, and from this new knowledge, I guess they really get to wake up to a life that they maybe never thought was possible. I mean, that's what really excites me, you know. It can't just be one thing for me. It never has been. It's got to really be about women like me, watching women actually thrive in front of me and reach their potential. It really is wonderful. And I think there's a really big difference between trying to do it and actually accomplishing it. And I think that that's the gap that we really love to fill. So that's really me. Of course, you know, I have a couple of beauty brands and a personal brand and Yeah, that's how we do it. We do it through Browsix International, through TrueBrow, which is the consumer brand, which we haven't really, we're sort of really working on that this year and next year. So that's how my days are filled, Larissa.
Sounds like they're, yeah, it sounds amazing. It sounds like they're extremely filled with amazing things that are really purpose-driven, which is super cool.
Yeah, it really truly is. And I think that that's so important, isn't it? Because when we don't know what our why is, we you know, what our real deep purpose is for doing it, anything that we do, it's so easy to be distracted and to be pulled away. And because, you know, it's tough. It can be really tough out there. So
yeah, I like that you've said that, actually, because what comes to mind is this sort of shiny object syndrome, when we can actually be distracted and pulled away with all sorts of fabulous ideas, opportunities and promises. But it actually pulls us away from our true purpose if we're lucky enough to know that purpose. So I think that in itself is a fabulous tip right there.
Yeah. Oh, you'll love my mantra then, if you like that one, because, yeah, that's something that we're very strong in, you know, is because we see it all the time. We even see it in ourselves. Mm. It's like I even saw it when I was a salon owner. And, you know, you can't go teaching other people unless you've been through, I think, the mud. Mm-hmm. It's like you're being dragged through the mud. You come through and it's kind of like, wow, you don't have to go there. I went there for you. You know, here I am. Let me, you know, let me help you. But, it really is a very interesting thing with, especially I think with women. You know, this is why we're so different to men, and I'm going to touch on that in a minute, but when we move forward, I'm hoping to sort of talk a little bit more about that, because we are different to men, and men don't get this whole, well, some do, this is not to say, to generalize, but you know, there is that thing with women, and if like you said, I love what you said, if you are lucky enough to know your why, and I think that then if you don't know your why or your purpose, you have to make it one of your top priorities to know it. It's too important, isn't it? It really is.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to you sharing some great tips with us, specifically around women's wellness. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, so I think, you know, as an entrepreneur, I probably should be talking about money first, shouldn't I? In implementation, marketing numbers, what's Elle doing? But Elle never kind of does it the way she's meant to. She just goes with the flow, really. And I think inwardly for me, I know very, very clearly that for women and for women entrepreneurs, is one thing that's more important than anything else, really. Is staying well, managing our emotional stress, our mental and physical health, and really knowing how to replenish our inner well, because we are actually even genetically made to give. That's why we're mothers. You know, we're the ones that have the babies and nurture the young, and so this sense of giving coming from a place that isn't exactly 100% true is what makes us, can make us really unwell and really affect our mental health, not just in this industry. It's huge. That's all we do. Yeah. We keep giving, servicing, and then we go home, we give to our children, give to the husband, or someone's going to miss out. You know, if we don't know how to do this well, you know, we're in real trouble, and everything ultimately can fall to pieces. And there are some parts of our life, like our business, we can always rebuild. But there are parts of our life, like our relationships with our husbands, faltering with our parenting. You know, the years pass by. We can't repair some of those things. Often those things are irreparable. So I think that first, that has to come first. And knowing how to stay well on all levels, physical, mental, spiritual. And, you know, I think that that's the first point of call for any woman that enters the entrepreneurial world. And we're made up differently, like I was mentioning before, to men. We're just not men. And unless we want to take on the masculine and become men and be like men, which is never going to fulfill us, and we're giving away really our greatest power, which is our femininity and that feminine power, we just have to learn how to not do that. We don't want to really do that. We do it because we feel it's a necessity, but it really actually isn't. We don't have to become masculine so that we can reach our potential. In fact, our potential is in the feminine, you know, first. So I think that when we do that, when we learn the skills, when we learn, we surround ourselves with people that are teaching us these skills on wellness, health, spiritual, you know, depth and bringing meaning into our lives, oh my goodness, you know, then we become real leaders. We become leaders to our teams, we become leaders to our clients, and we energetically, we're, you know, it's pouring out of us. People just love listening to us, they love connecting with us. It's kind of like the easy way, but because it's not the common way, women sort of put that aside, especially women entrepreneurs, and it's a sad thing. So I think that, you know, you have to realize that you're all the pillar where all the insight, all the potential rests in, and it's kind of like ultimately that's where it's going to come from. So you are so important. You are the pillar, and you have to learn. You have to learn that, how to sustain that and take care of your life, all your life, not just one part, and be driven and forget about the rest. It doesn't work ultimately. So that, I guess, is the first thing. What do you think about that, Larissa?
Yeah, well, I think you're so right. And I, you know, what occurs to me is that, you know, we are our mother's daughters. And if I think about my generation, you know, I grew up in a time where my mother grew up in a time, or had me in a time, where women were fighting for equality. And so I grew up with a mother who was highly feminist, not that I knew what that was, or that was a thing, or that was anything different to how it was prior to that. Mm-hmm. And when I was at primary school, there was a campaign, funnily enough, didn't think of anything of it at the time. The campaign was Girls Can Do Anything. And so I grew up thinking that girls could do anything, and that wasn't abnormal, or that was just how it was, and girls can do anything, almost to the point where girls were so empowered to do anything that, you know, they didn't need a guy. So I spent most of my life not needing any help, not asking for help, not knowing how to ask for help, because I was Superwoman in my own mind. Not from an ego point of view, but just, you know, I didn't need anybody. I didn't need to ask help until I had babies. And then I actually needed help.
Isn't that beautiful?
And then I had to learn how to move over and let my husband actually help me. And gosh, can you imagine how frustrating for him it was that I couldn't be helped? So I think, you know, we're in a time now when we're starting to realize our place, and it's like a pendulum swing, right? And we're kind of swinging back, hopefully a little bit more centered, and like you say, stepping into being the woman that we are. And I guess, you know, we can do it, or we've grown up thinking that we can do it, and now we actually have the choice. Do we want to do it, and do we want to be Superwoman, and can we actually just settle back into ourselves a little bit?
Yeah, that's so beautiful. God, I love listening to you then. You know, I think that one of the things I'd like to add, if it's okay, is this whole idea of being able to do everything, really what that does, the whole feminist movement, as much as it seemed to be necessary, I don't necessarily think that's true, but historically, if we look back, it happened, so I guess it must have been. If you really think about that, it's a shutting down. It's a separation. Mm. It's saying, I'm a woman, you're a man, but in reality, we're all the same. Mm. And if we went that little bit, if we dipped down a little bit deeper, we would see that everyone is, the only place inequality exists is in our own minds. It doesn't exist, you know, and you might say, but, you know, people might say, but what about, you know, wages and this and that? Well, I think that we would have a much better chance at changing that in the world when we came from a place that was sameness. Like we let go of the angst and the frustration, and we would have insight. We would have ways of reaching and saying, you know what, we would come up with things, you know, that would work, because we still, you know, we've been fighting, and it's not like wages are the same. we haven't fixed it with all the fighting and all the, so it's kind of like doing the same thing over and over again. And I think there's the big thing that came up for me when I was listening to you, Larissa, the word that just kept coming up inside of me was receiving.
Mm.
So women have to learn how to receive again. You know, it's through this thing of this feminine movement, we have to now just let go and see that there is no enemy out there. Yeah. You know, there isn't an enemy, and there isn't someone that's trying to stop us from being equal or whatever. And sometimes you might say, but, you know, my husband puts me down, and that's a different thing altogether. I'm talking it foundationally, principally from our own belief system. Are we able to receive? Because, you know, you have the women that sort of like become very passive, and then you have the women that go out and become superwoman. Either way, we're doing the same thing, you know, to some extent, and we're learning. But are we able to receive? And sometimes that means receiving stuff we don't want to receive either. It's not always receiving the good stuff, you know. Can we receive a criticism? Can we receive, you know, someone that's saying something that doesn't make us feel good, our husband? Does that mean that he thinks he's better than us? You know, all these things that are in our minds, and I think that it's just such a labyrinth. And I think when you look at the principles of receiving and sameness, I just love that. When you can let go of feeling like there's an opponent, you know, it changes everything. And it actually makes you just feel peaceful. You know, it's just all of a sudden, it's kind of like, wow, okay, I can drop all that.
I'm glad you said let go, because I think that's what it is. It's letting go. And it's letting go, even, you know, in all those parts of your life where we're hanging on to the reins so tightly, trying to make all the pieces work together.
And the reality is sometimes pieces don't work, but it's about how you are when they're not working that actually is more important than them working. So, for example, if, you know, like if something doesn't work and you're resisting that, you can almost be divorced in a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if something's not working and you let love in and you go, you know what, well, this isn't working, like, you know, how about if we sit down and just, you know, what's going on? You can solve just about everything. I mean, love solves, heals everything, you know. And it may not be that everyone stays together, all the rest of it, but it doesn't have to be the struggle and the stress which actually depletes us and makes us ill. You know, that doesn't have to be there. So it's, you know, again, it's not really about the outcomes. I love talking about being, you know, what are you being, not what you're doing, not about the result. It's not about life's going to give you everything you want. And, you know, you said something before, I loved when you said that, you know, I thought everything was possible and I could. Well, you know what? It isn't always. You know, we get given these ideas by coaches and, you know, these self-development kind of people that tell us you can do everything, you can do this, you can do that. Well, hang on a minute, you know, is that true? Like, you've got to ask yourself the question, is it actually true? And do I want to have to, you know, be able to do everything? What is that defining me? You know, you can't be defined by what you're doing. You've got to find deeper value. If you're defined by what you're doing, you're in trouble, you know, and there is that deeper value that you start to realize that is what you actually are in the world, and that how you're moving and being is far more significant than what you're doing. And I think that that's really important.
Now, all of that goes away, of course, if you have a really clear why and purpose that you're working towards, because it actually makes saying no to things really easy if it's not on purpose or it doesn't align with your why. And so that becomes the most important thing, doesn't it?
Yep, that on the priority list, right at the top. If you haven't got that one, you better go and do it.
That's right. So how does that then sort of streamline or move into our business in the marketplace? Because that, you know, positioning your business in the marketplace, if you're clear on those things, becomes important.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'd have to say that, you know, another thing that I believe, another secret, I would say, or a tip, is to, you know, to really look at the misconceptions around marketing for a salon owner. You know, like, marketing is like a promise, isn't it? And it's a promise to the marketplace. And if you can't and you don't exceed the promise, you're in trouble. Your marketing can damage your business. So that's a key thing, I think, that everyone has to look at. And this is how we're able to, you know, I guess for us, this is the foundation of our brands, really, that we take out into the beauty industry. Like with Browsex International, we have to think, because we're mastery-based learning, so we have to think, what do we want to give to the salon owner? Like, what do we want to give as a whole, you know? And I think for us, you know, this really became how we actually started to triple the income of salons for the sole trader, the salon owner with the teams. You know, there has to be a reality to your marketing, Larissa. So you can't just say you're better or think you're better for, you know, you have to be better. And this comes down to the quality of skill. So for us, when we do this with brows, the effect on key business metrics can be astounding for salon owners. And it doesn't matter what we're talking about, the salon owner as a whole, no matter what service they're doing, it's the same thing. So metrics, you know, things like referral rates, client retention, the ability to price according to the skill set you're offering, it's sort of like a powerful differentiation. Skill and quality, And as a salon, you become sort of different, you know, and very difficult for other salons to compete with. So branding, brand building, loyalty, that don't come from jumping on the next best thing in the industry. It's one of the biggest things. You said it before when you're talking about sticking to things, you know, in a way too, like hot trends. And ultimately those bubbles always burst. And the industry just, I don't know if you will agree with me or not, but I believe that it just begins to undermine itself, you know, like lashes, for example, is happening a little bit with that now. That's what we're hearing from salon owners. So many lash artists, so many people doing it. Sort of all of a sudden the next best thing, the hot trends, becomes a real problem and bubbles burst and then your business is at risk. So sticking to what absolutely never changes and will always be sought after. You know, for us, we're always up against, you know, this new best thing with brows in our business. We're always confronted by that. And for us, sticking to what we actually know never will change, even in the midst of the marketplace, sort of almost like a little bird coming and pecking at us, you know. You know, change it, go on, do something different. Like bend, go on. We don't. Because we stay with what we know never changes and will always be sought after. And I think that that is the key, you know, for salon owners. It's one of the very important thing foundationally. And I think that that's why our success rates are so high. You know, we don't allow the clients to tell us what's best for them. Our salons become the authority. They become the expert. And their clients then can depend on them when it comes to what's best for them. Because a client's going to hear things, you know, there's voices everywhere, isn't there, in the world, and now even more so than ever before. So the client comes in thinking she knows what she wants, and the salon owner goes, oh, my gosh, all my clients want this, instead of going, hang on a minute, what's best for the client? Aren't I the expert? Aren't I the one? Not Instagram, not YouTubers, not a beauty blogger. Aren't I the expert that can sit down and say to my client, right, let's talk about it. But let's be curious about what are the reasons that you want this? Tell me. I'm really interested. I want to hear all about it. I mean, for me, that's what I think, that being a salon owner and developing that in your brand, real listening skills to your clients and then guiding them and navigating them through to what is actually really best for them, that is such, like, loyalty is so truly built like that. You know, that's what real brand building is all about, really. It's just so beautiful.
And we have this one-upmanship over YouTube and Instagram is because we're face-to-face and have a real relationship with people.
Yeah.
When we actually have that two-way conversation, that we can actually personalize what they need specifically for them. That's, you know, maybe what Kim Kardashian has is not what's going to suit them and their lifestyle. Yep.
It's kind of amazing. It's true. And it's kind of amazing, you know, when I hear salon owners, because I talk to many of them. I love speaking to them personally because that's how I really get to understand what's happening. And sometimes I'll open my calendar and I'll take calls. And it's like, what? How can you take calls, Al? And I think, well, if I don't take calls, if I don't open up my account to take calls, how am I? I've got to be in there. That's how I learn and I grow and I understand what their needs are and what are they doing. And so often I hear them being led rather than being the leaders. And so one of the biggest parts of our program is teaching. And now when our coaching programs are being launched, even more so is really teaching them to become the expert, the leaders. They've forgotten that they're the leaders, that they're not the follower. They're not the client doesn't know. It's almost like if a client comes to you and says, oh, you know, I use Garnier wipes on my face. Would you say to her, oh, great. You know, where did you hear that? Oh, I saw this YouTuber said it was fantastic. Oh, you keep doing that, right? You're not going to do that, right? So it's kind of the very same thing. It's like you've got to step in and be the leader and really believe in what the value that you're adding and that educating our clients. I mean, so many people want to go out and educate the beauty industry. You know, I want to train. I want to be a trainer. I'm like, well, what about your first responsibility, your first duty is to educate the client? That should be your joy. That should be your reward. That like when you really step into that and you take hold of that and you teach your team members how to do that, that's just awesome. Mm. You know, and it's just then retail isn't an issue because your clients are asking you, what do I buy next? What's the next thing I need? It's not like selling's out the window. You're just solving problems for your clients rather than you're the solution rather than someone that's convincing them. And if you ever have to convince a client of something, you still haven't stepped into that leadership role. So it's kind of like, cool, you go, wow, that's great, I can see that. Okay, so what's my next thing? Oh, I've got to learn how to become a great leader. All right, let me go and see how I'm going to do that. It's not like, oh, I'm hopeless, I'm so terrible, I can't do anything. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, yeah, just leads you to, okay, this is my next, this is my next, this is my next. And that becomes the beautiful adventure that we're on. I love it.
I really love that. I love that. Giving yourself permission to step into being the leader for your client, because it actually, that is exactly, I think you said it, you know, it makes you dependable and reliable, which is inconsistent, which is those core elements you need to build a brand.
Correct. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And if you, yeah, if you can do that for your clients, then you can do that for your team. And, you know, those skills are transposable.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like that's what I did with every brand that I built, every salon. That for me, a salon is a brand. Doesn't matter what you think. You're not building a business, it's secondary. You're building a brand. And now more than ever before, we need to build brands. And I'm actually putting out a branding course very soon. I'm excited about it. Actually, I've finished it. I just have to get it out there now, Larissa. You know what that's like. It's all written up and everything, and it's sitting there, and I'm really excited about putting it out there, because I think that ultimately we have to recognize we're doing that. And the clearer we become about that, and the more solid, like the more that becomes a part of the pillar that we're being, our brand and our brand message, it becomes easier to be the leader, because, you know, you're doing it for something. You're doing it for your brand message. And your teams then come to you because they want to be part of your brand. They're not sort of, then your teams are not connected to you, the person. They're connected to the brand. So powerful. I mean, I just love it all. I could talk about this all day, can't you tell? Yes. Anyway.
But you've got one more really important tip to share with us.
Yes.
So let's hear about that.
Well, you know, I have to say this one is one of my favorites, because I think it's so important again, you know, and it shouldn't, it probably even shouldn't be the last one. I think we have to accept, and I use the word accept because it's important. We have to accept the fact that business is a challenge. And we've said yes to that challenge. Like when we open up, we want to build a brand, we open up a business, whether it's in our home, whether it's in, doesn't matter, three locations, we have to accept that we've said yes and that it is going to be challenging. And I think that it was, I don't know if it was Elon Musk, or he mentioned something about that it's like eating glass, you know. It's like, oh my God. And sometimes it's kind of like, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, it's going to be challenging, and there's never an end to what you're going to need to solve. And I think the greatest gift you can offer yourself is the gift of finding a great mentor or a coach that can teach you day in, day out, you know, really how to train your heart, your mind to love the challenges.
Yeah.
Don't resist them. See them as the opportunity, you know, that's offered to you on this enormous adventure you've said yes to, that you're constantly stretching and why go through the difficulty when you can have someone beside you showing you, navigating you through? It's almost like, you know, being in a maze, and there's all these, or an obstacle race. And finding the right mentor, the right coach, is kind of like there's the obstacle right in front, and they just delicately just maneuver you around. And it's like, oh, okay, missed that one, great. Then there's the next and the next. And I think that's really important. And really someone that's going to teach you to understand the language of fear and have the ability to, again, this is important, to gently and lovingly lay it down and move on, you know, not sort of fight fear, not see fear as an opponent or the enemy or something you have to overcome, but really someone who's got the knowledge to help you to lay it down and stop needing it rather than trying to get rid of it. I think that's really important. So there's kind of like a real simplicity here, isn't there, that for me is really beautiful. But I honestly believe in my, wow, 54 years on the earth, that with that constant support, I think I would go as high as 90% But 99% of human beings, this is the most difficult thing they ever have to do in their life. Mm-hmm. And for them to execute that and to be able to do that is a lifelong adventure. And finding the right mentors. You know, like nowadays, Larissa, everywhere you look, there's someone that wants to mentor or coach someone. Mm-hmm. And it's a labyrinth for the salon owner right now, you know, and any business person online. Everyone's doing it. You know, and you have to ask the question, who is this person? What have they done? How long have they been in the industry? What have they been challenged by? What's been their history? Because in reality, most of the time, sadly, we learn through our struggles. Mm-hmm. And so you need those coaches and mentors that have struggled, really, that have hit the wall, that have done all that. So you don't have to then, you know, like when you go, well, you know, they had to do it well. Now let me have a look at, you know, what can they offer me? And ask questions before you say yes to that. But they're necessary. We have our people. You know, it would be insane to think that we don't have someone with the sort of growth of our business and the direction we're taking and what we're doing in the world. It's you have to have that in my mind. And also different coaches and mentors. You know, you need to have possibly someone on a deeper level, and then not everyone's going to be able to give you all everything of what you need. But if you get it all in one, well, that's the bonus, but, you know, that's just another thing, isn't it? So that's my last one.
Yeah, I really agree with that, and I just love how you said, you know, I've been through the mud for you, so you don't have to. I wrote that down. Yeah.
Pretty cool. That's a good quote, isn't it? Maybe I should.
Isn't it? I think that should be one of your quotes. I've been through the mud for you.
I love it. But I
do agree. I've always had a mentor of some description or a coach some description in all of my business life, because, you know, sometimes you can certainly feel at the top of the pile, so to speak, where there's plenty of people that you are supporting, but then who the heck supports you? And it's not always the immediate people around you who understand what it is that you need or have been through it strategically. So to somebody who has been strategically through what you've been through, but also emotionally can support you to feel the fear and do it anyway, and has been through the mud for you. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
It's so important, isn't it? And recently, you know, I've been hearing of these, I mean, even in our situation, I've had girls that have come on board that are just beginners and that have worked with us, and then they've gone off and they've started training other businesses. And it's kind of like, hang on a minute, I was just training you last week, teaching you how to put on a staff member. You just started a year ago. What are you doing? Like, you know, this is the thing that we're so drawn in without asking the right questions. And as salon owners, even if we're home salon owners, we should never choose through price or through what someone we're reading in a marketing piece. We have to dive in and look. We have to ask the right questions.
And it's quite a personal thing also, isn't it, actually choosing a mentor, because, you know, you have quite a personal, intimate relationship with somebody that you're mentoring with. You know, you're talking about your deepest, darkest fears or your financial numbers or your team members. So it's not only the experience but actually the connection. Do you like it?
yeah, that's right. And I think you need to find the people that are going to challenge you. People that are going to, that can see your potential when you can't even see it, but they're not afraid. They don't need you to like them.
Yeah.
They need you to respect them. And you'll respect someone that has the courage to turn around and say to you, you know, guess what? I want you to look at that. I want you to go away, look at that, and come back to me. And then they're going to help you move through it in the gentlest, most kindest possible way. We don't have to go hitting things with sledgehammers to get rid of things. In fact, that never gets rid of anything. Right.
No, just beds it down further.
Absolutely. And then life brings it up again and again and again. So it's kind of like, you know, another thing which I really love, you know, is life's not fair and it's not meant to be. And when we let that in and we go, okay, well, that's cool. That's a cool notion. Okay. And then when we let new things in, we start to see where we're holding on to these things and how they're preventing us from actually really just blossoming and stepping out and being who we really are in the world, and letting other people actually be attracted to us because we have, it's almost like not what we're saying or what we're doing. I'll go back to that. It's what we're being that we're not spending enough time on. And this is why every program that we do is always comes back to that. And I love that our girls will say, you know, my life's changed. And I kind of think, oh, I didn't realize I did that. Oh, that's cool. But you know what I mean? Like initially when that was happening, I'm thinking, how did that happen? But it's just because there's a beingness that comes through in everything. And I don't know, for me, that's almost like I can't switch that off, which I'm really happy about, because it is in a way something that differentiates what we do from anyone else. Really, you know, it's a gift, and it's a gift that I've earned. These gifts don't come for free. We've got to pay the price.
True.
But yeah, and then we get to share it. You know, then when we're bold and brave enough, we get to share this with the world, and that is challenging. And it doesn't matter just because you have a gift or a talent or anything. You know, it's almost like don't be deluded by the idea that it's going to be easy. You know, when you see entrepreneurs and you see they've been so successful and you think, oh, my gosh, you know, they're so successful and, you know, it seems like it was so easy. Well, you know what? Some of my friends are extremely wealthy people and, you know, I have extremely intimate relationships, some of my best friends, and I have to tell you, nothing is ever without its challenges. You know,
no, entrepreneurs, that's right.
You know, anyone that's in business, you know, you've said yes, so stepping with joy, stepping with love, stepping with an open heart and go, you know what, whatever it is I have to do, whatever I have to learn, whoever I have to find to support me, this is part of what I've said yes to. And I think that just takes away all the angst and the stress that is unnecessary, because you're going to have pressure in business.
Yeah.
There's no way, you're not going to avoid that. So you're saying, you know, I'm adding a layer of pressure to my family, letting a layer of pressure to my life, to my relationships. I've said yes to that and I'm ready. And then once you accept that, you know, you'll navigate through it so differently, and it can be really beautiful and difficult, but difficulty doesn't mean it has to be horrible.
Yeah. Well, one thing is sure, that a business and entrepreneurship is certainly a personal journey, no doubt about it. So if I've been through the mud for you is one of your new mantras.
I love that, Larissa.
Share with me another.
Another mantra. I would say that focus on what doesn't change. For me, that's a really big one. And if you look at some of the most successful people in the world, they will tell you that. It's like you mentioned it earlier when you were talking about being distracted with all these new ideas and the shiny objects. You know, if you focus on what doesn't change, and that could be on a surface, superficial level, like for me with eyebrows, if I'm talking to one of my salon owner, for example, it's like focus on what doesn't change. Everyone always wants to have a beautiful brow.
Yes.
Not only designed, they want an expert to work on their brows, so they're walking around with a masterpiece. The idea that they think they want tattooing or microblading, that's actually, you know, if you don't get curious with women, once you start getting curious and start talking to them, you'll find that that's not actually what they really want. They think they want that because they're ill-informed. So that's just one example. But when you start talking, you know, when you start looking, sorry, at what doesn't ever change, and the skill set to create a masterpiece for a woman on her face within minutes, that is never, everyone's got eyebrows, for example. That's never going to change. So what do you want to learn first? You go straight into that. It's the same with skin. What is the foundation? It will never change. You know,
hair, and the same for hair also. It's like the foundation doesn't change, and that should be what you're saying is that should be what we master.
Well, yeah, and you know, just when you look at that, you master it, but your focus is on what doesn't change. Trends, like when you start looking at, you know, Jeff Bezos from Amazon and all these other people, you know, they're saying don't get caught up in the trends. Try and grow a business following trends. Don't try and grow a business, a brand, following the next hot thing, because that thing will burst, bubbles burst. These people haven't done it through doing that. And I mean, he's an amazing example, isn't he? What a lovely man. Like, I really have so much respect for him as a person, as well as, you know, what he's actually accomplished. But, you know, when you hear people like that say that, and you see it in your own business, and the world is always going to be twittering in your ear.
Yeah,
do this, sure. Do that. Well, every client wants it. All the clients want it. It's like, well, what does that mean? You know, hang on a minute, what's going on? Is that the best thing for my client? Is that what is going to build me a brand that is respected, a dignified, authentic brand that I can step in, you know, women can be attracted to and I can step into every day and be proud of what I'm doing? Is that, you know, it's just so amazing when you think about it like that. So you've got to focus on what doesn't change. And then on a deeper level, what that means is there's a constancy in us. There's a peace that is completely constant. It never, ever changes. It never goes away. We just ignore it, pretend it's not there. You know, like, bring that into your day. You know, like, focus. Come from that constancy of peace, of that peace that you can find. I mean, if you close your eyes and put on a meditation CD and you practice that over and over and over, you will get to a place where you will find that peace really easily. And you can draw on that during the day. Again, focus on what doesn't change. Same in your businesses. So it doesn't matter what level you're at. Again, focus on what doesn't change with your physical health. You know, focus on what is it that is so good. It's a principle-based diet, a way of eating that, you know, that doesn't change. What is that, for example? And just focus on it. So it's kind of like not being distracted all the time. And focus is the key, Larissa. You would have to agree.
I think so. Focus and purpose. I think that's the key words for today's chat.
Absolutely.
All right, before we, as we work towards wrapping up, tell me, what is a book or a resource or something that you can suggest that our salon owners must get their hands on?
Well, that's a tricky question, Larissa, because you know I published my own book this year. I think I'll say that even though the power shift is not for everyone entirely, like everyone's going to delve into it and do it all the way through to where it can take women and men, for that matter, because many men have read it and contacted me, and their wives, they won't give it back to their wives, so they're buying second copies in the house. Oh, it's so funny. But I think that I have to say that because the power shift, because even if they delve into it a little bit, they're always going to have it as a reference, because it's five principles that can change their lives, you know, foundationally. And when we bring principles into our world, whether it's our business, but our life, whether it's how we do brows, you know, that's how we teach our brow work, is through principles. So it doesn't matter where you bring in principles, you're building ground internally. You're building something that is, again, won't change. You're building a structure internally you can depend on. And I think that the power shift for me was written so that women could take it and see where they're following a wrong principle. Because, you know, the whole idea of this book was so that women stopped thinking they were stupid, not equal, that they were, you know, somehow bad or flawed, or they needed to change. I wanted to annihilate that and say, hang on, guys, you know, what's going on is you've got the wrong formula that you're living by. Try these new ones, try these new principles, and you're perfect just the way you are. Just change the formula. So it's kind of like giving a child a mathematical formula for algebra and saying, right, well, here's your test. This is the formula. The formula's completely wrong. And you say to the child, well, go and get an A+. And it's kind of like the poor little kid's going to try. He's going to fail. So there's nothing wrong with him. He's not stupid. He's not dumb. He's got the wrong codes. He's got the wrong formula. So the book, I guess, why I love it so much is that it really is actionable. And it's kind of, you might not even want to change the principle, the false principle you're using, but at least you know it's only because of that you're suffering or things are not going right. It's not because you're bad or silly. I mean, you'd probably be it's silly if you didn't change it, if you knew that it was wrong.
This is true.
But you know what, I guess.
You're in a position of choice.
It's empowerment, isn't it? It's kind of, you're going, well, you know, right now, Toby, I'm actually choosing this false principle. I'm not going to talk to you for 10 minutes. But I'll get over it and then I can choose again. And I think that that removes that whole layer of the inner critic and the inner judge that women are so susceptible to. And we've brought that in. And that's part of what you were talking about before with mum and the whole feminism thing and that we're not equal. And that's just a really, it's a hard road. It's a terribly hard road. So, and I think I want to add, can I add just a couple of other books, Larissa?
Yes, please.
Because
we'll pop these links on the show notes.
Yeah, lovely. I actually put this link up the other day on my page. But The Rosedale Diet I love, you know, The Rosedale Diet and The Plant Paradox. But first The Rosedale Diet, and we know Ron quite well, and Toby used to run his workshops for him in Melbourne, while we're living in Melbourne, and Ron's American and is one of the world's top researchers on anti-aging and which is important for all of us, right, in our industry. And also, of course, that's directly connected to hormones. A hormone that he talks about a lot is leptin. You know, leptin is a very, very neglected hormone because they can't fabricate it. The only way that you can actually become sensitive to leptin is through the food you eat, and it's connected to hormones. So I mean, it's a hormone, and it controls so many things. Sorry. It controls, you know, your thyroid. It controls your weight gain. It controls fertility. It is just this particular hormone, leptin, is just crazy important. And I think that everyone should read that book. Every woman should read it and have it there as a reference. And she doesn't have to go and change it, what she does. But if she's ever in strife, she can go back and go, you know what, maybe I can go and do that. And The Plant Paradox is another level up from that, which I really love too. And I think that those books are just for wellness and health. You just have to have them as a reference. They're almost like the Bibles, you know, of health. And it empowers us because we can do it through food rather than through medicine and other things. And, you know, it's for those women that think, wow, I want to be empowered. Why not? Let me give this a go and see. And I love these books. I think they're fantastic. So, yes, there you are.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. And we will pop all those links up. And, look, thank you so much. It has been a chat full of purpose and focus. So I really appreciate your insights. It's been great.
Thanks, Larissa. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Now, where can people find you?
Well, you know, I think they can find me in a lot of places. You know, they can go to browsecrets.com. You know, there's, you know, I have a lot of, a number of brands. But I think the best thing, and I'd like it to be, you know, I'd like to sort of invite people to encourage them to just add me as a friend on Facebook. We can put the link and they can just talk to me. You know, I want to make myself available to them to ask me questions. Then I can add them to the closed group that I have and my page. So, you know, there's just, and they can ask me questions about anything that they want. I'm really, really open to that. So all they have to do is really look for me. I think we'll put the link onto my Facebook profile. Open myself up to that. I'd love to hear from everyone. And then, of course, I can direct them appropriately because it just depends on what everybody wants, you know, what their needs are. So, yeah, I'm quite happy with that.
I really appreciate that, Al, and appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Larissa. Always beautiful chatting with you. It's been absolutely great. Thank you so much, everyone.
Well, that wraps another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I really love Al and where her mind goes. It makes you think, right? I'm excited right now because I'm actually creating time in my business to work on my business, grow and promote and actually get creative again with all of my ideas. I must say it's so rewarding. And getting yourself to a place of real freedom so you can create profit is a real challenge in itself, a forever present challenge, I think, in business. So for me personally, I've been making a conscious effort to spend less time on my phone because newsflash, personally, I kind of don't think it's okay to be available 100% of the time. But with business, it's a bit of a different story. In this digital day and age, we're more connected than ever before. And whether we like it or not, we're only ever a phone call or a message away. And boy, do people know it and expect it. Automated messages from your business can help your potential and current clients feel connected and less ignored, even at 11 o'clock at night. Because I know you get messages on your messenger at 11 o'clock at night.
So you no longer have to look at your phone when your clients need you out of business hours, and you won't feel guilty either. So if you want to talk about SalonBot, let SalonBot do the work for you while you focus on being off the grid, in your home, spending time on your family and on yourself. Dare you do that? And you want to learn more, I'll send you a message. Come and find me at the Salon Owners Collective Messenger or SalonBot Messenger for that fact. I'm going to put the link on the episode notes of this episode. Come and find me. Come and chat to me more about it. I would love to connect, but not 11 o'clock at night. Talk soon. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.